This is the Taylor Report at CIUT 89.5 FM, and we are joined, I believe, by Steve Gowan. Are you there, Stephen?
Yes. Hello, Phil.
And so, now, well, I didn't give you a proper introduction. You've been writing about all these crises, particularly the one to do with Syria and Iraq, the latest development, which is really quite. I want you to help us sort out, as other people have on this show, who are they actually sending our planes against? I understand we have 18 planes. They're going to go for 60 days. That, no doubt that'll solve the problem. They say to fight a group called ISIS. But I'm not clear, are they joining those who are using their planes to attack the sovereign territory of Syria, if you could help?
Well, yes. I mean, officially, you know, we're sending CF-18s to Iraq to attack ISIS.
Mm-hmm. But that's, by the way, Britain has said they're not going to attack Syria. That's my understanding.
Right.
And a couple of other governments have said, made it kind of clear. They seem to understand it's rather important to make the distinction between ISIS fighting in Iraq or along that Turkish border in Iraq. But on Syria, they say, no, we're not part of that. And I noticed that the U.S. is not exactly forthcoming. And I've been talking to experts. People are not clear on who the heck you are. Who's dropping the bombs? Because you know, if you are a Saudi plane or a Qatari plane, that is definitely war. According to my understanding of the rules, so people who still understand sovereignty are careful about where they're going. So, are we clear about where Canada's going to go?
Well, I mean. Are we clear? I'm not clear.
Yeah. So, in other words, you have not heard him answer that question, right? And not that anybody in Parliament asked him.
No. But, you know, I one of the things I think is interesting about Canada contributing CF-18s and aircrew to the war against ISIS in Iraq is that, you know, Canadian politicians and media people and others will tell you that Canada's contribution needs no justification. So this is the right thing to do. ISIS is a terrible, head-chopping, backward, anti-woman, sectarian, mm-hmm. democratic, mm-hmm. all of those things. And indeed, it is all of those things. But interestingly, there's a country in the Middle East that Canada supports strongly, and so do our allies, Saudi Arabia. And there's not a lot of discussion about Saudi Arabia, and that's because this ally of Canada and other Western countries is a repellent, head-chopping, backward, anti-woman, sectarian, anti-democratic medieval country mm-hmm. ruled over by despotic crown dictators who are violently putting down an mm-hmm. Arab Spring pro-democracy uprising in their own country mm-hmm. and neighboring Bahrain, where mm-hmm. they sent tanks and troops to quell demonstrators, calling for a constitutional monarchy where the people would actually elect the government rather than it being appointed by a king. And the country is one of the principal sources of funding for ISIS, and the ideology of ISIS is based on the official ideology of Saudi Arabia, known as Wahhabism, you know, mm-hmm. the 18th century fundamentalist version of Islam. So, you know, while ISIS was cutting off the heads of U.S. and British journalists, which got a lot of play in the media, Saudi Arabia was beheading, I don't know, what was it, 36 criminals, most convicted of nonviolent offenses, including one for sorcery.
Yeah, sorcery comes up a lot. Apparently sorcery could be anything from Christianity to reading Voltaire, I think.
Yes, and another interesting event in Saudi Arabia that's been in the news recently was the sentencing to death of a Shia clergyman for, quote, encouraging, leading, and participating in demonstrations. We talk about, you know, Syria, where the Assad government is said to have quelled these pro-democracy uprisings. But no one's saying much about what happens in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, when Canadian politicians mm-hmm. and media people tell you that Canada's sending CF-18s to Iraq because we don't like violent fundamentalist Sunni Muslims who are anti-woman and anti-Shia and want to impose religious rule on parts of Iraq and Syria, we're really being sold a bill of goods. For if this were true, we'd be bombing Saudi Arabia too, rather than embracing Saudi Arabia as a great ally in the Middle East.
Yeah. Now, by the way, that is where we have almost a mind-bending reality. Here we are preached about continually. I'm sorry to use the word preached, but by our government and others who write, learned people and pundits, they say that what is this extremism thing? We have to really worry about it. Well, why would they say that? As if you point out, they don't have a problem with a government of Wahhabi, a family state called Saudi Arabia, family-owned state, extremely wealthy, who executes people by chopping off their heads and who practices a very sectarian form. If that's their friend, maybe they, what does this word extremism mean? I mean, here we are, the Canadian population is, you understand, being currently rather inflamed on this subject. Isn't it time to investigate the government's pals?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, fellow freedom fighters, the coalition of the bombers.
And our pals in Syria that we back, the so-called moderate rebels or the other rebels or ISIS. No one said much about ISIS when ISIS was, cutting off heads in Syria, mm-hmm. cutting off the heads of Shia in Syria and Alawis and Christians and other minorities. Ottawa didn't say much about that. I don't believe they said anything about that. The other interesting thing is that the UN Security Council had a resolution in the summer denouncing ISIS and the al-Nusra Front.
Yes.
The al-Nusra Front being al-Qaeda's official...
And now I think they've joined the moderate... The terminology now, they always hint that they're kind of moderate guys, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. What's ISIS? ISIS is al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
They were both al-Qaeda.
They have imams, and people hear from them, and those who are expert in the matter, certainly learned Muslims have pointed out that it is a Wahhabi phenomena. By the way, nobody's being censorious and say you can't have that school of thought, but it is, these people are identified with an ideology that comes from Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And I may as well ask you, too, throw it in. We've been living now with this for a long time. We had the 9/11 itself, which shall be there for living memory, and it's rarely remarked on, but the majority of the people involved in that episode, according to everyone, were Saudis.
Yes, 15.
So we bombed Afghanistan.
Yeah, 15 of the 19, and plus bin Laden was linked to the Saudi elite.
He's, of course, a Saudi himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Both Saudi...
Why isn't there, a boycott, an embargo, perhaps, a refusal to trade... freeze their assets in Paris, and they have a lot in Paris. They have a lot in London. Perhaps we should freeze their assets. Never comes up.
No, we don't like to talk about that. And in fact, the
I think my assets get frozen for this. But anyhow,
the journalist Patrick Coburn was making the point today that even Saudi Arabia is competing with ISIS to show who has the greatest commitment to Islamic law. And he says that things are getting worse in Saudi Arabia rather than better, with a surge in the number of executions and beheadings. And
and again, their planes have been identified as actually bombing inside Syria, in my understanding, and certainly in Iraq. And could you speak of this thing of when Iraq... the coalition is cobbled together of these monarchists and the U.S., when did they ask those states to join in the bombing? Or and did they ever ask us? I can't find anybody can show me that Iraq ever asked Canada to bomb anybody.
Yes, Canada simply volunteered to be part of the coalition.
But so what are they, like black, whatever it was, Blackwater or something? They just say, I'm here, and I don't have to show you my papers. I enter your country, I blast something, I go home.
Mm.
I mean, is that what it is? I mean, why aren't there a little respect for what's called protocols? I mean, what they show the Canadian people that the wonderful democratic government of Iraq has asked us to come and do these good deeds for them.
Yes, well, is it a wonderful democratic government? Or is it a sectarian government with a sectarian agenda?
We're talking about Iraq.
Yes.
Yes.
Not Canada.
Yeah, of course not. Well, there is no answer to that, is there? I mean, again, we go back to, you know, democracy doesn't work very well if nobody asks any questions.
Mm.
I know that they say that the Liberal Party and the NDP have separated themselves a shade, you know, we have 50 shades of gray with the opposition. But I haven't seen them put these kind of questions. For example, if you're going to drop lethal bombs, missiles, guided missiles, at targets, who is doing the targeting? Who told you to fire that? If I was in the military, you have a kind of a chain of command. Some central commander determines where the dangerous people are, and then the order is given to go and attack. Iraq claims that that's their decision. But meanwhile, that doesn't appear to, they don't seem to have control over who's doing, who is actually targeting. So you're having somebody who needs targeting done according to their specifications. However, that isn't the one doing the work has decided on different targets.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? I mean, that's the impression I get.
Well, I think it would be naive to suggest that Iraq has any control over how this campaign is carried out, or who's targeted, or who gets bombed, and how the bombing happens.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly would be highly unlikely, especially considering the nature of the government in Baghdad. And comparing it to something that happened just recently, in the last week, if you talk about control over armed forces, and just to digress for a second,
mm-hmm.
You can talk about what happened in South Korea last week, where the South Korean government was due in the next few years to take over wartime control of its own armed forces in the event of a war, now under the control of the United States, and they decided to push that back to the earliest sometime in the mid-2020s.
South Korea does not have control over its own armed forces, and they will not be able to talk about having for another decade.
Mm-hmm. And that's South Korea. So,
and if you can't trust the South Koreans. by the way, I have to ask you this. I mean, I was, thank goodness you raised that subject, because this is one of the more dangerous places. It gets talked about, but it's exoticized. But we have to talk about the curious individual who leads North Korea, allegedly curious, because he goes away for a week, and reporters in New York want to know where he is. But also last week, I read of an episode where a group of militant anti-North Korea, if I'm using that term, approached the border village because they wanted to launch balloons across the border denouncing and mocking the government of North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But the villagers at that place said, get out of here. You're just troublemakers. And of course, the West didn't give me a lot of information as to how ideologically this all worked, et cetera. But, you know, that you can't use a border that way. Am I right? That's a violation. I mean, the state, neighboring state, can get you for incitement, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's just unnecessarily provocative. I mean, they're just provocateurs. That's all they are.
I mean, if we went down to the Windsor-Detroit border and sent the balloons across and said, rise up, people of Detroit, they won't even let you have drinking water, probably we'd hear from the American embassy.
Yes, we would.
And if we added, you know, mocking pictures of the president, This is the kind of mad world we're in. By the way, fortunately, we have people like Stephen Gowans, and it's gowans.wordpress.com. I forgot to make sure. Please go to that site. But some of the most obvious glaring things are simply we're invited by our media to pass over. Now, Stephen, what do you is it your assessment of there's a case being made, I think, by Patrick Colburn and many others that actually what America is up to in its anti-ISIS fighting is wishing to remove the government of Syria. What is your belief on that?
That they wish to remove the government of...
That, in other words, the bombing itself inside Syria is a like a step, a cat's paw, to continue on and challenge the government and knock it over by some means.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've made that argument myself, which is... I think it would be naive to expect that at some point the United States won't enlarge its list of targets to include Syrian government forces.
Mm-hmm.
The United States is committed to overthrowing the Syrian government. It's quite clear about that. So, I mean, now that it's launched air operations within or in violating Syrian airspace, I mean, is it reasonable to expect that they'll stop there?
Yeah, when would they? Yeah, when in history have they stopped? Yes. That's something both Obama, President Obama, and Prime Minister Harper have used a phrase which. To my mind, is a violation of what is called international law and the rules set up by the United Nations, which is, they said, if you commit an act against us, you will have no place to hide,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the sheriff saying, I take my badge off and I will chase you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that presumes that you can't, if a criminal crosses a border and you have the evidence he is a criminal, what you're supposed to do is stop at the border and say, here's my papers showing he's a criminal, and then they turn him over to you. And Syria, by the way, has never said that they would not turn over anybody that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they crossing? Why don't they observe the international law?
The United States. Well, you know...
You know, everybody's starting to laugh these days. Even Chomsky, I think he gave a speech at UN, and he was like you. He said, it would be nice if America respected its own laws.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that is, in a way, that's starting to sound like, you know, the canaries in the tunnel, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's because it seems to be over that question. That's not disputed. The New York Times, the Washington Post, Ottawa Citizen, everybody seems to agree with this kind of... uncivilized language, we'll go and do what we like because that guy hurt our feelings.
Right. And because we make the danger and the threat to be so large that people just go along with it anyway. You know, I'm not sure. Well.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me take you in another bit. Again, this is Stephen Gowans. It's wordpress.com, an excellent site. We have another hotspot, and you have written about this previous, so I want to know what you make of the latest stages. There is fighting still going on in Ukraine, and it's a rather we're not getting exactly the best journalism. It's hard to make out whether it's a ceasefire, anybody's violated, who violated it, et cetera. But also, they've announced election results, and... I understand today's star, Mr. Poroshenko, the chocolate man.
Uh-huh.
I won't call him an oligarch because I noticed that word is now not popular. There are no oligarchs anymore. But at any rate, he's got 22 or 23% of the vote.
Uh-huh.
And democracy has been proven to be great. And the people of Ukraine now will go with Paris and London and all that. What do you make of that election? Did you look at that, and where does it fit in this present crisis?
Well, before addressing that, maybe I could address something else that is kind of related and leads to that question. I had to get this in because this is just so interesting.
Please do. We love interesting stuff.
And it concerns, we can go back to the issue of Syria and the so-called moderate rebels that Washington and Canada and Europe support, the so-called moderate because they don't really exist. But to give you an idea of what moderate rebels mean to the United States government, you may have seen that there are documents reported today in the New York Times that had come to light to show that the CIA and FBI had recruited at least 1,000 Nazis and Nazi collaborators as Cold War spies and informants. Mm. It wasn't like a dozen or a handful, but at least 1,000. And
yes. Paid them, too, by the way. That's salaried Nazis.
Employed, yes.
Yes.
And Alan Dulles, who was the head of the CIA at the time, called these moderate Nazis.
Really? Thank you for that. No, that is amazing. The man was ahead of his time, a visionary.
Yes, so you could ask, you know, how could Nazis be moderate? And I guess that depends on your politics. And I know that Dulles...
I wouldn't want to be standing on the other side of the barbed wire from one of those moderates.
Well, I know that Dulles' sister, according to the historian Victor Kiernan, was, quote, so overflowing with admiration for Nazism that she settled in Germany to bask in its rays.
Oh, at the time, I mean, that's a part of the... We've always heard about the Dulles family as having, you know, worked for the Germans in one respect or another. But we will never get beyond the two brothers, Alan and John Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, well, now we have a sister. It sounds like the Mitford family.
Yeah. So, and among these moderate Nazis employed as spies were ex-Nazi police officials and East European collaborators who... it's now said, were manifestly guilty of war crimes. And when this was pointed out, J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, who was using some of these people as informants, said, dismiss this as just Soviet propaganda. And then there was Otto von Bolschwing, who was a top aide to Adolf Eichmann, who wrote policy papers on how to terrorize Jews. Mm. And there was a Nazi collaborator named Alexandrus Lykus, who was involved in the machine gun massacre of 60,000 Jews in Lithuania. So, I mean, when Washington talks about moderate rebels...
They were part of the moderates who went to work for the U.S.
Yes, the moderate Nazis. So that gives us some idea of what moderate...
That's today's New York Times.
Yes.
Well, I'm really glad you shared it because, again, you notice, I mean, today wouldn't that just be called Russian propaganda?
Yes, exactly. You know,
and apparently what it means is if they say it, you have to add the word propaganda. Whether it's true or not, you just simply add propaganda. That way you make it not dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Or you could call it, in this case, Syrian propaganda, because right from the beginning of this uprising in Syria, the Syrian government said, hey, I mean, these people are violent Sunni fundamentalist Muslims, and this is all dismissed as that's just a bunch of Syrian propaganda. That's not what they are. But no one denies it anymore. I mean, it's clear that that's what...
Well, and on that, I mean, isn't it true that in the case of the Free Syrian Army, the CIA and everybody said, yes, we're helping them. I don't know why I'm putting it this way. I must be delusional. Because Obama said, I'm going to give them $500 million. So I guess it's not exactly a secret. And they give them weapons... The ISIS people that they're talking about, everybody says they got this. The weapons given to what is called the Free Syrian Army seems to just be a safe house to hand off the weapons to the ISIS.
Because the so-called moderate rebels were cooperating with ISIS and with the Nusra Front. And so the weapons just went from them to ISIS and Nusra.
Mm-hmm.
And also... The guy who led the Free Syrian Army, according to him, the army's now under the CIA direction, and the rebel forces report directly to the CIA and to U.S. intelligence.
What could go wrong?
But others, I mean, scholars who've been looking at this say, you know, you might call them moderate, but they're all Islamists.
Mm-hmm.
And they all are of the view that the Quran is our constitution. I mean, they're certainly not what we might think of as moderate in their approach.
I notice the word secular seems to be gone. We just use the word moderate.
Yes.
Secular kind of went out the window. while we were all talking, people forgot we're not saying that word anymore, just like we're not saying oligarch anymore. No more oligarchs. There used to be oligarchs in Ukraine. They're all gone.
Well, I figured
out. There's wonderful, wealthy, successful people, and then, you know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I figured, I mean, the narrative has these polar opposites. So we talk about secular versus Islamist, moderate versus extreme. But the only axis that really applies here, or the only duality, is it's rebels whose goals mesh with Western foreign policy objectives. They're the moderate rebels. And those working against them, those are the extreme rebels. So that's all that matters.
Well, you've definitely clarified these issues. Thank you so much, by the way, talking about the Korea story and the German story. I really think that Nazi thing, I hope people will go to the New York Times, but I hope you write about it. This is Stephen Gowans, WordPress.com. I can safely assume you're going to mention that, right?
Yes.
Well, thanks very much, Stephen.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Stephen Gowans, Gowans.WordPress.com. And we're told out of Ottawa that we need greater powers for our intelligence agencies. And my argument is that we should do that when they prove they're intelligent. We should have a concern about the transparency of our officials. This latest tragedy where a soldier was murdered in Ottawa, it brought to the for some information, but some of it turned out to be kind of wrong. Now, people tell us there's been a video made by the perpetrator, but we can't see the video, but they'll tell us what's in it. At this stage, if we're really vigilant and if we really like being free and all that, we should say, no, just show it to us and let us all help you analyze. Because when the story first broke of this young man who had been living in a homeless shelter and had drug problems, they said he wanted to go to Syria. Think back to our conversation just now with Stephen Gowans. He wanted to go to Syria. The mother, who they claimed that story came from, had to correct them. She said, my son wanted to go to Saudi Arabia. And they said, oh, well, what's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. Saudi Arabia is a reactionary Wahhabi stronghold. And you didn't want to mention that. It's better you say Syria, because that keeps everybody on the same side. So we have to watch. We should not want propaganda. We should want some facts. And nobody should be given more intelligence powers if they haven't got any brains. Anyhow, you've been listening to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And, congratulations to Mr. Baumgartner. He's a genius. Certified. Andy, thank you very much. And Phil, we'll see you next week.